You know what you look like? You look like you need some rest. I'm Father Kurt Hein with Light of Christ Anglican Church, and we are going through To Be a Christian in Anglican Catechism. We are on the Fourth Commandment, page 98, question 290, talking about the Sabbath. Before we get into this, let's go ahead and take a moment and pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. All right, let's talk about question 290. What is the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Continuing, 291, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? Sabbath is from the Hebrew Shabbat, which means rest. Holy means set apart for God's purposes. God commanded Israel to set apart each seventh day following 6 days of work for rest and worship. So in the language of the Hebrews, Shabbat means rest or to cease. Holy means to set something apart for a special purpose. And so God commands his people to make a special day, to cease from their work, and instead to rest and to worship their God. Question 292. Why was Israel to rest on the Sabbath? Israel was called to rest in remembrance that God had freed them from slavery and that God rested from his work of creation, bringing joyful balance and rhythm to life, work, and worship. So God made the Sabbath day as a way to participate in his rest. He gave his rest to the ceaseless labor of the Hebrew people in slavery in Egypt. Remember, by freeing them through Moses, he brought rest to his creative work after his crowning creation of humankind on day six. And he decrees the Sabbath so that his people would have a healthy rhythm of work and rest, rest and work. 293. How did Jesus teach us to keep the Sabbath? As Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus taught us to keep it not merely as a duty, but as a gift of God to be received with joy and extended to others through acts of love and hospitality. Okay, so Jesus taught us that a day of rest was made for the good of humans and symbolizes human living in freedom and wholeness. So we can enter into that reality through joyfully loving and caring for others. As Jesus said, man is not made for Sabbath, but Sabbath for man. 294. How does the Sabbath serve as a promise for the future of God's people? When the church is perfected in Christ, all believers will dwell in God's new creation, free from sin and its curse, and eternally united to God in love, adoration, and joy. This will be our unending Sabbath rest. So part of the curse is that when we work, we no longer find it pure joy. Work is filled with real and metaphorical thorns of suffering and pain. Some of us are blessed to have jobs we actually really enjoy intrinsically, but the reality is that for most people, work is just hard. And often, even if we do like the job that we're doing and we find it intrinsically meaningful, not all parts of that job are going to be enjoyable, right? There are always times and tasks that are just, in the end, grueling labor, things that have to get done. The promise of the day of rest is that this curse that is over our work will end. There is coming an infinite day of rest where we will be freed from sin and its effects on our life and united to God in pure, eternal joy. And this rest in his presence will be our experience forever. 295. How do you keep the Sabbath? I cease from all unnecessary work, rest physically, mentally, and spiritually, and join with my family in church and worship, fellowship, and works of love. So we keep the Sabbath by setting aside time from all unnecessary work. We give our mind and body time to rest, and we dedicate this time to family and worship of God together. This is important and needful for us. What does this commandment teach you about work? My work is a gift of God that can grant me provision and satisfaction and serve the common good, but it neither defines my life nor rules over it. I am thereby freed from resentment and sloth to work diligently and with joy for God's glory. So work is God's gift. It's hard to experience that at times, but because of the curse, but it's true. Remember, Genesis chapter 2, God forms man. What does he do with man? He places him in a garden to work it. Without work, we become less human. We lose our sense of meaning and purpose and easily become depressed and caught up into sin. I remember the phrase, idle hands are the devil's workshop. It's certainly true of me as a young man, but I'm sure its application is a lot broader than simply that. It's a huge problem today with our youth, especially young men. The importance of work in forming boys into men who assist in the flourishing of their communities is hard to overstate. It's of incredible importance that young men get to work quickly and learn how to work well. And so work is necessary. It's necessary to provide for yourself, right? So you don't have to be dependent upon others, and to provide for a family, and to serve other people's needs through your work and through money and resources you have left over. Rest, though, is also necessary. Work, as our catechism reminds us, can easily become an idol. What is good, work, can become ultimate, a god, a false god. When we sacrifice our family, our relationship with God, our physical and mental health to work, that's a serious problem. God means for us to work out of a place of rest before him. But many of us have constructed a life for ourselves of unending busyness. Busyness is not a virtue. I believe it's a sin. It's a type of disordered life. We don't need as much stuff as we have that we're working ceaselessly for. God desires for us to work hard, but not to enslave ourselves to work. Or when we are off of work, to fill our every nook and cranny of our lives with ceaseless activities, like the dumb entertainment that's all available on the phone, TikTok, etc. This is not how it's meant to be. Work is a command of God. As Paul says to Timothy, he who does not work shall not eat. But rest, hear this, rest is also a command. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Both rest and work are for our good. We need to take Sabbath seriously and stop using work as an excuse to run away from our families, God, and even the stuff that's going on in our own hearts. Question 297. What does the church worship on the first day of the week? Why does the church worship on the first day of the week rather than the seventh? The earliest Christians came to observe Sunday as the Lord's Day for their primary day of worship in remembrance of Jesus' resurrection on the first day of the week. Okay, so early Christianity was a Jewish sect. All the first Christians were Jewish. But they quickly differentiated themselves from other Jewish groups through changing several practices in accord with the fuller reality that they had experienced with Jesus as the Messiah, his death and resurrection. So fast days were moved from Monday and Thursday, that's when most Jewish people fasted, to Wednesday and Friday. And the reason for this is obvious. The Lord was crucified on Friday. And the day of worship and rest was moved from Saturday to the first day of the week, Sunday. Again, the reason should be obvious. Jesus rose on Sunday. The Didache, that's a first century document that we have of the early church, says this, quote, "But every Lord's day, gather yourselves together and break bread and give thanksgiving after having confessed your transgressions, that your sacrifice may be pure." So we hear this idea of the Lord's Day. And even in Revelation, John the Revelator says that he was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. And so Sunday is the perfect day for Christian rest and worship because it's not the seventh day, but it's the fulfillment of the seventh day. The first day of the week, Sunday, is also the eighth day of the week, the end of the first covenant and the beginning of the second covenant. The second covenant, which frees us from the curse of the law, where we rest in the free gift of God's love for us, given to us on the cross, and receive it by faith. This is why Sunday is our day of rest, the Lord's Day. 298. What does the Sabbath teach you about time? Through an ordered life of weekly worship and rest throughout the Christian year, and by a regular pattern of daily prayer, I learn that time belongs to God and is ordered by him. By taking a day and dedicating it to the Lord, we begin to understand that all time belongs to God. He is Lord over time, and we ought to recognize him as such in our life. He is the one that created us in our mother's womb. We had nothing to do with that timing, and he is the one who knows the day that we will draw our last breath. Ultimately, all time pivots around that one eternal moment when the God-man himself, Jesus Christ, died for the sins of the world and overcame death upon the cross. When we immerse ourselves in Christ-centered rhythms of time, it changes us and the way we view time that we have been given. The holy days and time set apart for prayer actually begin to leak into the rest of our lives, making all of our time sacred. I'm personally very thankful for rediscovering the beauty of the Christian calendar. The time of Holy Week and Easter especially brings profound refreshment to my soul and communicates the good news in a deep, integrated way. Question 299, our last question here. How does keeping the Sabbath help you to grow in Christ? As I keep a weekly day of rest and worship, my faith in God, my Creator, is strengthened. My hope in God, my Provider, is renewed. And my love for God, my Redeemer, is deepened. When we rest, we have to trust. We have to trust that God is actually our Provider, not us. I think I used to work for Chick-fil-A when I was a kid. That's what a lot of homeschoolers end up doing, actually. And they're not open on Sunday. And all the other fast food places looked at them and said, how are you going to do that? I mean, one of our biggest days for selling food is Sunday. But Chick-fil-A does way more business in the 6 days that it is open and outsells all of its competitors, even though it's closed on one day. I think we can learn something from this. If we take a day and give it to the Lord, the Lord knows what he's doing. He knows how he made us and he knows how he made reality. He's going to provide for us. And so it takes trust. We have to trust him, though. We have to trust that his ways are best, that he is actually the provider. We are not. He is the one that provides for us. Through resting, we're exercising our faith in God, the provider, and our trust in Christ, who has already won eternal life for us. No, the world's future is not dependent on you. Jesus has already won the victory. For our good and his glory, he does make us part of his plan to bring renewal to all creation, but it's always and only by his power and grace working before us, with us, and through us. See, Sabbath challenges our false belief that we save ourselves through our own works. And the more we press into the practice of Sabbath, the more we can understand that the love of God for us is not earned, but given as a free gift. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. If you like this video, please hit the like button, hit the bell so you get alerts, subscribe, share it with your friends, leave a comment, and I'll see you next week.